Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
That was a head rush.
Yeah.
Paul J's off all week. David Allen in for him. Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D.
Hello.
Pushing all the buttons. I wish someday that we could just come in and I could tell you how good the chocolate chip cookies were I baked last night.
Mm-hmm.
And we could spend hours and hours and hours just talking about that.
And we wouldn't have to talk about anybody who, you know, slaughtered a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we wouldn't have to talk about either international slaughters or domestic slaughters.
Yeah, both of those are not good.
But since it's 2016, and those of you who are old enough can remember 1968, I was only six, the country's a mess. I mean, it's not the worst place in the world. There are worse places.
Are you talking about the Democratic Convention in 1968? Or
yes.
You're talking about the riots?
I'm talking about the Democratic Convention all the riots that took place and everything, because the RNC starts tonight. And obviously what happened yesterday in Baton Rouge has nothing to do with that.
In 1968, though, it was one of the more tempestuous, I guess, Democratic National Conventions that ever. And there were a whole lot of people who were outside the convention in Chicago just basically fighting with police.
Yes.
And that went on for a long time.
And
then they had film of the... They were trying not to show any of this on TV, but they had the police showing up, and, you know, there were a crowd of people that they thought were going to riot, and so they waded in with batons and...
German Shepherd dogs.
Baby blue helmets and whatnot. And
water cannons and...
Yeah. And it was pretty chaotic. In fact, it got a little chaotic on the floor of the convention.
Yes.
As well. There's a famous shot of Dan Rather getting escorted out by somebody.
Yeah. You and I talked about this last Monday, or maybe it was the previous Monday or some other time. And so, understandable, I grew up in a white family, in the military, so I don't understand racism. I don't get racism, and it didn't touch me, because in the military, everybody had the same issues, at least back when I was a kid. Maybe it's different now, but... Back then,
well, at least on an Army post or an Air Force base. Or you guys were on Air Force bases, but yeah, everybody has kind of the same issues, whether you're white, black, or
yeah.
You know, no matter what your background.
You're moving every 2 years.
Exactly.
Or every 4 years, and the military's sending you wherever you go.
Plus,
and so,
plus there was a war on.
Yeah,
at that time,
and I also had the situation where in my classes I had blacks, Hispanics, whites,
mm-hmm.
Native Americans, Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese. You're friends with everybody because you're all in the same boat, because
right.
You get to be good friends with them in the fourth grade, and by the sixth grade, they've moved. And so you have to make all new friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't say, well, I'm not going to like them because they're black, or I'm not going to like them because they're Filipino, or I'm not. You just can't.
Whatever.
Because you're all friends and you're all playing together, and that's just the way it is.
Now, okay, and my wife was raised very much the same way. Her dad was in the Army. He was an officer, and they lived all over the place, just like you guys did. The best place they got to live was Hawaii for 4 years.
That doesn't stink, no.
But I was 180 degrees from that. I grew up in Twin Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 18, I moved to Boise, and that's it. I've only lived in two cities, and
yeah.
they're both in southern Idaho. So, I mean, we have a lot more diversity here than we used to.
Sure.
But, you know, growing up, I really didn't know too many people that, you know, didn't look a lot like me.
But I obviously, my parents watch the news. They watch John Chancellor
mm-hmm.
religiously every night at 5 o'clock. NBC News was their go-to.
I think we watched Cronkite.
Yeah. They didn't like Huntley or Brinkley or Cronkite. And so we obviously saw the race relations and how bad things were.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, they've never been worse than they are now. I don't
You don't think they were worse in the 60s than they are?
Well,
now?
See, I was only six. Well, in 68, I was only 6 years old, so I didn't know anything about race relations other than what I saw John Chancellor telling me. And before that, he always told me how many body bags had come home from Vietnam that day. So I always got those stats, too. Yeah. And that seemed far more important to me at the time because my dad had just gotten back from Vietnam. That seemed far more important to me at that time than race relations.
Sure.
Because you might as well have been talking about landing on the moon, which you were also doing that, because race relations,
about a year later, yeah.
Race relations were just as far away from me because I got along with everybody and everybody liked me and we were just friends.
Okay.
I don't know, as a white guy sitting here, I can't fix it. I don't know what the answers are to fix it, but things are out of control and I think everybody's to blame and yet no one's to blame. I think it maybe just reached a boiling point.
In the police shootings, it's hard for those of us who are not police to judge what happened.
Yeah, I'm
completely. First of all, we didn't see the whole thing, number one. Number two, you're not sure who to believe exactly.
And I will tell you that if every day I came to this job, I had a chance on dying, I would never come to this job. So I have no idea what it's like to put on that uniform every day.
Right.
Whether you're a fireman, a policeman, any first responder, and you know that it could be your last day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that's like, so I would never put myself in that spot. But I also don't know what it's like to be a black man driving through a neighborhood in a BMW, and the cops pull you over because you're a black man driving in a nice neighborhood where you live in a BMW just because you're black.
Well, and then you think, well, you know, wow, it's that's got to be exaggerated, this problem. And then you find out from somebody that they get pulled over on an average of twice a week.
Yeah. And you're like,
That just seems outrageous.
2 out of 5 days, really? 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We're going to be talking race today. And if people agree with Chris and I that it's bad or worse than it's ever been now, and more importantly, how to fix it or at least make it less volatile in the future.
Mm-hmm.
8:45, one final check of traffic with Ron O'Brien, brought to you by Treasure Valley Hearing and Balance. When you hear well, you live well. Let the professionals at Treasure Valley Hearing help you today. Call 740-6020. That's 740-6020 or go to treasurevalleyhearing.com. Here's Ron.
There are new details following an alleged attempted kidnapping near Cottonwood Park on Sunday afternoon. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to David and Chris.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay on vacation all week. Chris and I are here. We're talking about, in the aftermath of yesterday morning's Baton Rouge ambush shooting and killing of three policemen,
29-year-old guy.
Ex-Marine.
Just about every one of these, the killings in Dallas and the truck, you know, running into hundreds of people in France. Fairly young people.
Yeah.
Reasonably young.
Yeah, surprising. I don't know what's going on. So we're trying to discuss race and things that are going on. Bob in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Morning, guys. Doing well. You know what? Maybe look at this from a little different direction. If these officers dealt with people, let's say, that had blonde hair, blue eyes, that caused most of the problems, they would probably be a little more nervous when they were stopping a Swedish person. But the vast majority of this stuff seems to be caused by various ethnic groups. Blacks in this area, you know, if you read the newspaper, the vast majority of these serious crimes here involve Hispanics. And it just, obviously, you're going to be more nervous when you stop a person of that group than you would be somebody else. And maybe it's time that some of this is put on these various groups to, you know, if you live in a reasonable manner, you're going to be treated better.
Well, do you feel like that justifies the nervousness?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's survival. When you stop someone that, well, you know, it's got to be human nature when you deal with this day after day after day. And, you know, I said the various groups are the people that are causing you problems. And well, you've got to be. It wouldn't be normal if you didn't consider that.
All right, Bob.
Yeah,
thanks for Thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, I can see both sides of that, too, where the police are used to having a hard time maybe with minorities. And so when they pull over somebody that is of a minority group, they're a little more wary. Mm-hmm. As they're going to have an encounter with them. But I think the minority groups feel the same way about the police.
Yes.
Because, you know, they hear that so many of them have been, you know, shot by mistake or shot because it looked like they had a gun or something of that nature. But they hear all the stories. And, of course, they're exaggerated when they hear them compared to most stories are exaggerated by the time they get around to
sure.
a few people.
Sure.
And this would be, you know, because you hear about several shootings and you think, well, the police are just out to get us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would be just as nervous, you know, on the other side of the encounter. It would just kind of be nice if nobody had to be that nervous. Now, one of the things we've heard over in the last couple of weeks, and this is going all over the internet, people are sending it out on Twitter and Facebook, is advice from police about what to do when you're pulled over. And the biggest piece of advice we get is just follow orders and do whatever they tell you to. You know, if they say, put your hands on the steering wheel, don't think to yourself, okay, just as quick as I get my wallet, I'll put my hands on the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Just put your hands on the steering wheel. And, you know, sometimes obviously that doesn't work. But for the most part, most of the police have said that if they can see your hands, everything else is fine.
Well, let me give you a little story.
Okay.
I understand I'm a 54-year-old white guy driving in Boise. Friday, I get done work and I leave work. And as I'm passing a certain area on the way home, motorcycle cop popped me.
Okay.
And I pulled into an empty parking lot mm-hmm. of a business that's been closed for a while there. And I didn't move. Hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Didn't move. And it's me, let alone if I was okay. a black youth or a Hispanic
oh,
or
right.
whatever.
Okay.
And he came up, and he was walking close to the car and asked if I knew why he pulled me over. And I knew why, obviously. And I said, yeah, I was speeding.
Mm.
He goes, do you know how fast you were going? And I said, well, I think it was this number. And he showed me the radar and said, no, it was this number. And I said,
it was a higher number than
it was,
he had.
It was definitely a higher number than I had in my brain. But my point is all through that conversation, my hands never left the steering wheel. And that's when he said, I need your driver's license, proof of insurance, and registration.
Now,
and I got all those things for him.
But did you have the feeling that even if he had walked up and you had your hands in your lap, that he would have, you know, felt all that nervous about the stop?
I think in today's environment, he might have.
He might have. Okay.
There's a possibility that he might have. Because even though my hands were on the steering wheel, he still came up very close to the car, you know, walking so that my angle to try to get at him or whatever would have been poorly rather than him coming to where mm-hmm. he was really in my sight. I mean, he was really off my left shoulder.
Well,
perfectly through the beginning of that.
And one of the things going around on, as I said, Facebook and Twitter says, just keep your hands at the top of the steering wheel, you know, where they can obviously be seen. Or if they happen to yell at you to put them out the window, put them out the
window. But at the same,
don't grab anything until they tell you to get it. You know, don't fish around in the glove compartment or under the seats or in your pocket.
But at the same time, if you're pulled over for doing nothing, like I knew I was pulled over for something. If you're pulled over for doing nothing, is it a police state? I don't understand. 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 907. David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton here. Paul J. will be out all week. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless.
A couple of quick instant messages here.
Sure.
Bob says, it doesn't matter if you don't know why you are being pulled over. You may have a tail light out. You may have expired plates. Just do what you are told, and if you are wronged, you have a legal way to redress the issue. Well, yeah, if you're still alive, you do. You can go to court. You know, whether or not you'll have a case, that's... you can't know for sure, but
and here's the thing: if you have expired tags on your plate, you know that. You're responsible for those tags. You know you have it. Mm-hmm. They send you the thing in the mail saying, hey, your tags are going to expire at the end of August. And if it's January 1st of the next year, you know you have expired tags. I don't know. How can that be?
Wendy of Meridian wrote in, I don't know, this seems like kind of a generalization, but she says, I think the problem is largely due to blacks acting like rules don't apply to them. Too many kids come from unwed moms, and many aren't clean and sober. Each of the people killed by cops had done something wrong or stupid to become involved with police. Not all of them, though. And I don't know that, that's necessarily a black thing. I know a lot of white people that act like the rules don't apply to them.
Yeah. And come from single-parent families and are mixed up with alcohol and drugs. And
or even, you know, come from two-parent families and don't, you know, maybe they're just arrogant.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, 8:40 a.m., Baton Rouge police officers at a convenience store in the old Hammond area saw a man, quote, wearing all black, standing behind a beauty store, holding a rifle. 8:42, reports of shots fired. 8:44, reports were received of officers down at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 minutes, and the first guy's down. 8:45, more shots fired. A chilling call into the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff scanner said, shots fired, shots fired, shots fired. I've got an officer down. I'm hit. I'm by the car wash. Two down back here, two down, another said.
And they were both killed, right?
Yes. Okay. 8:46, there were reports of a suspect wearing all black standing near a car wash next to the convenience store. 8:48, emergency responders begin arriving at the scene to help the victims. The suspect, Gavin Long, on his 29th birthday.
That's true. Sunday was his birthday.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about that.
Shot and killed at the scene. Officers killed in the attack were Brad Garofalo, 45, Montrell Jackson, 32, and Matthew Gerald, 41. There's still, last I heard, there was still one other officer who's in critical condition.
And he didn't particularly care whether the police were white or black.
No, because Montrell Jackson was a black officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just wanted to kill cops. And the two things that are bad about this, obviously there's many bad things. I'm saying in a general, the two things bad about this is, A, there are going to be people who maybe want to be policemen that because of all this won't become policemen, which means your police force is lowered, which means that there's less policing going on, which means crime goes up, possibly.
You really think that would affect someone who wants to be a policeman? Because they know that sort of thing exists anyway. You know, they know that when they put a police uniform on and they go out to work, that they might not come back from that day. I mean, they have probably the most dangerous job there is.
I think so, too.
I mean,
it seems to me,
apart from criminal, that's probably even a more dangerous
job. Yeah. And I know that I'm probably generalizing, and so I apologize. But to me, it seems more dangerous today than it did 6 months ago. That's my perception. And I'm sure it's because of 24-hour news networks and the internet and Facebook and Twitter and all of that. Everything, it seems more dangerous now than it did 6 months ago.
Well, and there again, I mean, there are people who think that, the other day I read something where a guy said that social media was the reason for all the problems we're having now. And he really called it wrong because he's hearing about so many more problems mm-hmm. than he used to. He assumes, first of all, that more exist. It doesn't mean more exist.
No.
You're just hearing about more of them than you ever did because it's so easy for information to travel all over the world now.
I knew a woman in Texas who said that things were worse. This was after 9/11, that things were worse then than they ever had been in the history of the world. And I said, well, that's not true. It's just that back in the day, you had to wait till 5 o'clock to hear about your news. And it was only a half hour. So you didn't hear everything. Whereas now you hear about every single thing, whether it be a big thing or a small thing, you're hearing about everything.
And if you go back in history, I mean, there has always been terrorism. There have always been wars. There have always been corrupt politicians and leaders. There have always been political killings.
Was Hitler on Twitter?
No, because they hadn't invented Twitter yet.
Oh.
And there they probably would have called it Twitler.
That's true. Pat in Washington County, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. We do have a problem, and it's worse than it's ever been, because I'm older than you are, and I remember the 60s. I think a lot of it comes from above. People are given assumed rights because someone else said they have. Like, if you're a policeman in Cambridge, you're stupid. And that's no different than if I called you stupid and I had never met you. That's ridiculous. And then it goes on, and now I wonder how many of these marches have parade permits. I doubt it. And President Obama has done a great deal of creating segregation, and he thinks blacks are better. Well, maybe he does. He was raised by, you know, that minister that he's crazier than a junkyard dog. But you have to go back to where people are people. I was raised, well, I had 500 kids that called me Ma, and I was never a foster mother, and they were of all nationalities. The people I feel sorry for are friends of mine that I don't happen to see anymore because I've moved, but they're just married people with kids, and they happen to be black. You know, those are the people that are suffering. They've never gone into a liquor store and walked out without paying. They have never called anybody a nasty name.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel extremely sorry for the policemen. I really do, because they are our only defense. I know that man in my White House would be happier if he could nationalize police, and then he could control us all.
Why do you say that?
Well, if he could nationalize police, he could call them off, leave those people alone. He would love to have total control. Now, he's using, I feel sorry for the Negro race, and because they are being used as dupes for him. And probably because I was, I don't know, I just knew so many people that were black that had, they just went to work, came home, ate supper, had a couple of beers, watched baseball or football. They're no different than I am. A young man took my groceries to the car the other day, and I thanked him, and I said, you know, I wish everybody in the world was colorblind. It would be a better world. And as long as you didn't have someone defending every black person, well, Trayvon could have been my son, type remarks, that you wouldn't figure that the gangs in the big cities who control the cities, they would not walk around and say, hey, we got a free ride. The man in the White House is on our side. And I do not believe that people should be released from jail nor let out of Gitmo because they were only minor rule breaking. You know, no real crime was involved. Put them in jail, build another jail, and put them to work.
All right, Pat, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate you calling in. I will tell her that a lot of people haven't met me, and they've called me a lot worse than stupid. We got Chris and John coming up next, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on Verizon Wireless. It's 916. We'll talk to more of you next on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
922 at 670 KBOI. David Allen in for Paul Jay. Today's rewards code, convention. Obviously for the RNC starting tonight. Convention, go to KBOI.com, enter the word convention, C-O-N-V-E-N-T-I-O-N, or just enter C-O-N, you'll be fine. And you will get 5,000 rewards points. I couldn't think for a second. I was like, is it 10,000? Is it 100,000? Is it a million? Nope, it's only 5,000 rewards points.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
You wanted to say something about what Pat had said.
Well, I don't know. There were a lot of generalizations in there, I think. One of them was, you know, she said that black people have a tendency to think that the rules don't apply to them. And that's a big generalization because even, you know, she was even talking about friends of hers that don't get into any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and everybody has friends of all colors who don't get into any trouble. And then I think everybody has known somebody of all different colors who can't stay out of trouble.
Yeah, can't keep their
and so
nose
it's,
clean
it's,
for
it's,
anything.
That's not necessarily a racial thing. Gary of Emmett says, if the recent cop killings in Texas and Louisiana are not called and dealt with as hate crimes, then all of us who thought hate crimes were about an agenda rather than a constitutional law and order piece of liberal legislation, that kind of left hanging. Also, if the Nation of Islam and Black Lives Matter are not racist groups, then neither are the Aryan Nations or the KKK. By the way, the KKK and Black Lives Matter were both promoted by the Democrat Party, although the Democrats abandoned the KKK. I blame liberals for the current racial problems, as I hear them say it is conservatives to blame, not politicians, but a government so big it intrudes into places where it should not, is the reason all of this has been so stirred up. Governments that do not unite us will divide us. Remember, these politicians elect the higher court judges who lately make our laws. See,
Black Lives Matter isn't
Black
like
Lives,
the KKK,
okay.
Because the KKK was about exclusion of
now,
race.
You're going to get some argument from that. And even, you know, there was an event in downtown Boise over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was essentially a Black Lives Matter march. And there were people that showed up to heckle. And they were yelling things like police lives matter and white lives matter. And I think the thing that's lost, and the reason it gets lost is because some of the people in the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, are committing crimes. And like, you know, the people that shut down a highway or a freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not supposed to shut down a freeway. I mean, you can peacefully assemble. You can, you know, air your grievances and things like that. But if you start committing crimes or, you know, even if you're throwing things at the police, I mean, people are going to listen to less of what you have to say.
Sure.
And some of that has been going on, but in not all the cases. And what Black Lives Matter means is that, first of all, it means all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is all lives matter, but don't forget black people because it seems like you're not thinking their lives matter.
Exactly. Chris in Boise, you're on with David and Chris on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good. Well, here's how I see it. The Democrats incite the blacks and paint them as victims and magnify the problem in order to get the votes. So they're sort of brainwashing them. They own the news and they own the universities. So they educate people in that manner, and also they're constantly broadcasting that kind of a racial division. And they've gotten 97% of the black vote. The problem is it backfires, and they're killing cops. I mean, I don't view the Democrats of anything less but inciting cop killing. I mean, they're guilty. They're in the same boat with it.
So
these people come with them.
So as far as you're concerned, they're doing it on purpose.
They're doing it on a purpose. Here's if you want to be on the side of the law. Personally, what I do as a Republican, you know, to help the problem, I donate to the Sheriff Association, and they have a program to where they get kids. It's called a cop shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And I view this as when you give a charity to the Sheriff Department, they use this money to better relations between public and, you know, and the cops. And I just see that when people get helped by the police and they have, well, I don't know about the other cities, but here we do have that. Kids, when they grow up, will be less likely to go and throw rocks at cops when they remember that when I was a kid, the cops take them shopping and bought the school supply and bought the Christmas toys. And, you know, I don't know what we can do, but every time I see people, I educate them, because the media had become nothing but propaganda machine. They're kind of like a pyromaniacs. They start the fire, then they go watch it, and I don't like the media. And you know, I love the people of color. I love I have lots of friends, but
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I get your point that you think it's the liberals and the Democrats who are inciting all of this. Mm-hmm. 927 News with Rick is next on 670 KBOI.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 938. David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton here. Todd pushing all the buttons. Any instant messages?
Yeah, JD of Boise says, let me see if I follow the going wisdom of some in your audience. Do everything a cop tells you to. Don't ever exercise your constitutional right to due process. Never demand a warrant. Never ask for explanation. Never insist that a civil servant speak to you, a taxpayer, in a civil tone of voice. Because if you don't do everything a cop tells you to do, and because all cops are always justified in everything they do, then you deserve to be shot or beat up. That's not what I was saying.
Not what I was saying either.
Not what I was intending. If I was saying it, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
It's wisest if you do follow the instructions of police officers. Because the first thing police officers have to do when they come upon a situation is figure out what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, they don't get it right. They get it wrong. But after a while, they generally are able to figure it out. And, you hope nobody's gotten shot up till that point. And that's not necessarily always on the police. Sometimes it's on everybody.
Yeah.
Dave of Boise says, what we are all witnessing is the smoke and mirror effect that the politicians are experts at. It's the whole watch my left hand while I take my right hand and punch you right in the nose. This is what is going on. Don't be fooled, America. Keep your eye on the prize, which in this case is Donald Trump being America's next president. Okay. I mean, some people feel that way. Not everyone.
I do want to say something that Chris had touched on before the break.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame the president for this, any of this. If anybody thinks that the president of the United States is okay with cops getting killed, that's obscene to me. Whether you agree or disagree with his politics, that's obscene to me that he would want that.
Every time something like this happens, Barack Obama does go on and make a statement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And generally his statement is the same as pretty much any other politician would make.
Yep.
Let's stop shooting each other before this gets out of hand. You know, I don't want the police to be guilty of anything any more than I want anybody else to do. You know, just stuff like that. And to me, it sounds the same as when George W. Bush was saying it. And before that, when Bill Clinton was saying it. Mm-hmm. And before that, George Bush and Ronald Reagan. It's not that much different when they address some kind of a tragedy that's happened. I don't hear that. Maybe some people do hear it. I don't hear Barack Obama giving a free pass to any black people or necessarily just backing them up and not white people. Yeah, the one time he said that Trayvon Martin, if he had a son, he might look a lot like mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin. Well, I can't argue with that. But all he was trying to tell people was if this was a case where a black guy was walking through a neighborhood and was shot by a white guy because he didn't like him there, then he said that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And as I said, any president would say that.
Sure.
I don't hear that Obama goes out of his way to create a divide. And a lot of people just assume he's going to, I think.
Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We are doing well. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if you look it up, Louis Farrakhan said in a statement about 6 months ago or so that young black men that have acquired skills in the military and et cetera should use those skills for the brothers. Okay, the last two killings, the one in Texas, 5 ex-military, the last one here, ex-Marine, you know, so forth and so on. So, you know, you can hide your head in the sand and you can deny all day long, but at the end of the day, this president has taken sides on every one of these cases before he has even known the fact.
I do deny that.
Just in the way he responds. So you can say all day long that this has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
But you guys are not listening. You're not reading. You're not understanding.
No, we're listening and reading and understanding. We're just not understanding it the same way that you are somehow.
Well, but I mean, sometimes, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, come on.
So if he's a black guy and he says that maybe the black guy got the shaft, then he's trying to create division and that's all there is to it because he looks
black
like.
Guys.
Well, you said if he looks like a duck. I kind of thought you meant if he looks like a black guy, then he's
or,
like...
Or whatever. But what I'm saying, when I was growing up, there were white guys in our neighborhood. And guess what? They were always in trouble. They were doing something they shouldn't have been done. They weren't black. They were... Some of them were Hispanic. Some of them were white guys. And guess what? When something happened in town, guess where the cops were going? To their house. Because guess what? Nine times out of ten, they were involved in it. So, you know, cut the whole race thing. It doesn't matter who you are. And all these guys that have been in trouble with the cops and they've been shot, hey, these are not choir boys. Look at their rap sheets. You know, you got to take the facts in consideration.
No, see,
and see,
I don't care about that because the cop doesn't know about the rap sheet when he pulls somebody over.
Well, of course not. But what I'm saying is usually there's a reason for doing that, usually. I mean, I grew up that way, and the guys in our neighborhood were white fellas. And there were guys that were in trouble all the time. It was just the way it was. And when there was a problem in town, that's who they were looking for. So, okay, sorry.
All right, Steve.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I appreciate you calling in. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264.
The problem with that attitude, though, is, and that happens in poor neighborhoods, and, of course, it happens in black neighborhoods as well, where if there's some trouble, there are certain people that go out and round up all the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would round up all the black guys in the neighborhood because they figure, well, one of them must have done it. Or round up all the poor people because obviously one of them did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if there's no such thing as white-collar crime.
No, of course not. John in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Hey, not too bad. Probably disagree with you a little bit. Our president being a uniter, if you look at the Middle East, when he first became president and went around doing all these bowing and apologizing, he was pretty much putting out the word, we're not going to do anything. And look at what's going on today in the Middle East and around the world. And then... let's look at places, we'll just take Chicago. How many blacks have murdered each other in the past year, not alone the last 10 years? And then you have Black Lives Matter, you know, cook them, you know, roll them in bacon, whatever they say, you know, fry them, shoot them, kill them. And then our president invites them to the White House. I think I have a problem. If you're a uniter, it's not Black Lives Matter. It's Americans matter. We're all Americans, and we should be striving. It's like the chief of police in Dallas stated, if you want to make a difference, I have some job openings for you. Come down here. I'll put you in your own neighborhoods. You don't get a lot of takers.
All right, John. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you, too.
I don't think the president wants cops killed. I just don't. 9:46, we've got Rich, John, and Luther coming up next on 670 KBOI. Thank you very much, Rick. 9:50 now at 670 KBOI. John in Garden City, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Oh, good morning, guys. I thought I was going to get bumped off the end.
No.
Well, time's getting close. First of all, make this fast. You said you don't believe that Barack Obama is allowing people to be killed intentionally. You said you can't comprehend that. Well, look at Fast and Furious, and that's exactly what that was for. It was for to outrage Americans about weapons getting across into the a Mexican cartel and being used against the Border Patrol and actually did kill, I think, one Border Patrolman.
Yeah, I should have made myself clear. I'm sorry. What I meant was is he's not supporting Black Lives Matter so that cops are killed now by African-Americans.
Well, it's all related. Black Lives Matter is a farce, too. Have those people go to Chicago or Detroit and run their fat mouth there like they're doing here and see where that gets them. It's not about black lives. It's about causing problems. That's the bottom line.
See, and I don't necessarily believe that. A lot of people have said, you know, if you guys,
hang on
a second. A lot of people have said, you know, if you guys are protesting that black people are being killed, why aren't you in Chicago doing all this stuff? Well, one problem at a time. It's not that you have to take care of the big problems and then leave the small ones for later. This may not be the single biggest problem that these people are having, but they still consider it to be a problem.
You don't think it's disproportional?
No.
Thousands of black people are being killed, thousands. And less than hundreds are being killed by police officers around the country. That's just in one city like Chicago. Thousands are being killed.
Thousands?
And that's where you choose to make a stand because you're a big, brave, you got all your courage up to face the white people at the Capitol building, but you can't go there and face
the real problem. Okay, what's the biggest problem facing white people in America today?
Hillary Clinton.
Okay. So should we just focus on solving that problem and nothing else? Or can you solve each problem as it comes up?
Part of the strategy is to overload society with problems. And then you pick the ones that are know-nothing problems to harp on. Like, boy, I don't know what they're doing. Oh, you know, we want to focus on Hillary's emails, because that is a big problem. We don't want somebody like that in office. Well, what does the Democrats do? They go focus on something else and make a big deal out of it, like Black Lives Matter. And not that that's not a big important part, but let's prioritize this. And that's not what they're doing. It's intentionally designed to make things, to clog up the works, to actually fix something. Black Lives Matter do not want to fix anything. They just want the controversy. They just want the problem, because that's where their power is within the problem.
All right, John.
If you solve a problem, then their power goes away.
Okay, John. Thank you.
I'm glad you got in, John. Appreciate you calling in.
The one question I guess I have for people is, why is it that no matter what happens in this country, somebody thinks that it's all part of a big master plan? How many things that have happened in your life were because of the master plan that you set out for your own life? Or how many of them were things that just happened to you that you didn't have control over?
All of them were because I had no control over anything. And I would say on the Chicago versus Black Lives Matter thing is that, yes, obviously blacks killing blacks in the city of Chicago by the hundreds is bad. But if you can't trust law enforcement or the military or first responders or whomever, that's a bigger issue than blacks killing blacks. I mean, they're both important, but I'm just saying.
Let me read what Mike R. says. He says, guys, criminal statistics is summarized by academic criminologists. Show that a vast, vast majority of crime is economic class crime. In other words, poor blacks victimize poor blacks, whites victimize poor whites, poor Latinos victimize poor Latinos. In sum, there is a definite racial aspect, but the primary variable is economic.
100% agree. Rich in Boise, you're the last caller. What do you got for us today?
Well, first of all, that remark that Steve was saying Farrakhan made is a total lie. Look that up. If the Black Lives Matter went to Chicago, what would they protest? Down with murderers? I mean, there's nothing to protest. It's crime. You don't have, you know, I mean, to where they can speak up about how they're treated by police. And it's not just these murders. It's been going on for a lot longer than this. We've happened to have a few murders on, but it's just kind of how they're treated in their daily lives. They're not all up in arms because two or three people got killed.
Yeah, not every black person who gets pulled over 55 times in a white neighborhood is killed, but they get pulled over 55 times in the white neighborhood.
But anytime Obama says, I mean, I'd like to get a quote from one. They keep saying how Obama's catering to him. They never give a quote. Steve's always calling up and saying that. I just would once like to have him a quote that something Obama said. He says the same thing. If it had been a white person, he says the same speech every time.
All right, Rich, thanks. Chris and I both kind of agreed with you on that. Up next, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers, brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ, located at 2000 North El Dorado. Go see them. They're on boisechurch.org, Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow on 670 KBOI.
Now, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers.
We've cut our deficit in half. Nothing to worry about. Oops. The White House announced Friday that the federal deficit for this year is expected to be a staggering $600 billion. $600 billion is more debt than any other president in history racked up in a single year. But unfortunately for President Obama, this is progress. His first year in office, there was $1.4 trillion in debt. The best year racked up $438 billion. This means that in President Obama's best year, the federal government spent $438 billion more than it took in. In 8 years, President Obama racked up more debt than all of the other presidents combined, from George Washington to George W. Bush. And there's no plan to stop spending money. Like we saw in Greece, eventually the bills come due. I don't know about you, but this makes my wallet awfully nervous. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.